In today's episode of the Business and Justice series, Yemi Fasu highlights the significance of treating employees fairly as a means of establishing justice in society. He argues that the well-being of employees should be prioritized because they are the primary audience of a business.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique context on the African continent.
Hello and welcome to the Ziwani Podcast, which is a platform for business leaders to share their insights and personal experience on what it means to engage redemptively in their work. This episode is part of our Business and Justice series, where we're exploring how Christians in business are actively working towards a more just society through their businesses. And with me to discuss the topic of treating employees fairly is Yemi Fasu, founder and chief talent officer at YF Talent Partners. Yemi, thank you for joining me today and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Saves. Thanks for inviting me to this podcast. It's a real honor, and I feel really humbled and privileged to be a part of the conversations.
Fantastic. Well, let's start with what YF Partners is all about. And I take it YF is taken from your initials. Is that right?
Absolutely. So YF represents Yemi Fasu. And why did I decide to go with that name? Because I realized that I built some sort of credibility, if I must say that myself, in the market over a couple of years, about 29 years. And I decided to just continue my career journey after 9 to 5 for 29 years. I decided to go into HRpreneurship, and that was in 2021. And I decided to stay with the name. Why? At the time, the entire ecosystem around here already was calling me YF. So I decided to go with YF Talent Partners. What do we do? We are an HR leadership and culture transformation firm. We are in the business of advisory. And what we do is to help our clients manage all issues around talent, including the entire verticals of HR, from the point of entry also to the point of where employees are offboarded or exited from the organization. That's on the HR part. And also leadership, conversations, leadership transformation. We did realize at some point that we were promoting many people into leadership positions without getting them ready for leadership responsibilities. Our job, our role is therefore to partner with organizations to get their people ready for leadership responsibilities, number one. And for those who are already in leadership positions, to see how we may help to close the gaps around leadership competencies. Same thing for culture. Culture has become a very big deal in the now of work. If we are not, if leadership isn't role modeling culture, culture isn't happening. So how do we embed the right sort of culture in organizations? That is a question we tend to help our clients answer as we join them in culture transformation journeys.
Right. And just out of interest, Yemi, the question is often asked by Christians in the marketplace as to how much you wear your Christianity on your sleeves. So you're in the business of culture transformation within organizations. How much of what you do is overtly Christian, or is it just grounded in biblical principles without necessarily being overt about it?
I'll take the latter, which is to embed godly principles, biblical principles, in all the things that I do from a work perspective without necessarily being too direct about it. I'll say to you that, for instance, I may not say, hey, let's come together every morning and let us pray before we start the business of the day, but in all the things that I do at the point of getting to the organization till I get off the office premises, I will make sure that I am guided in all my decisions based on godly and biblical principles. So I may not be verbose, literally about it, but believe me, in all my conduct, I always have that at the back of my mind. And if you think about the fact that I was brought up in a very strict, narrow, harsh Christian way, and I do not think that I have departed from that way, from that narrow path, it's reflected in everything I do business, in everything I do personal, in everything I do relationship. I am not preaching to you that I'm a saint, but believe me, when I say that, the fundamentals have always been with me, and I conduct business based on those principles as well.
And I would imagine when you engage with different companies that people come to you afterwards and say, hey, are you a Christian? Because they see it, right? In the way you carry yourself and the way you present your content. And I'm guessing that over the years that's given you opportunities to share your faith outside your formal sessions.
Oh sure, of course. Let me also say that the principles that I preach, they are well rooted in the faith that I hold dear. So I talk a lot about process. I talk a lot about visioning and dreams. I talk a lot about taking action. I talk a lot about relationship, emotional intelligence. At times I do talk about political intelligence, and all those are rooted in biblical principles. Just this morning, I was speaking at my kids' school, the individuals who are going to go through their IG CSE exams, getting them ready. And I spoke around fear leading to more fear and faith leading to more faith, because this is the time they want to write the exams. And of course, fear of failure, am I going to do well and all that? And one of the kids asked the question, how do I deal with fear? And my response was that more fear will lead to more fear. But if you've got faith in yourself and your ability, and you've got faith in God that you will succeed in this examination, then you will succeed. So fear leads to more fear, faith leads to more faith. Without me literally or overtly quoting any biblical scripture, you know what I mean? I made an allusion to my faith, which is faith leading to more faith. And of course, everybody in the environment knew this morning that I was a Christian, so they knew exactly where I was coming from. Again, I'm always quite careful, seems, about being overtly, overtly expressive about it, because in rooms where you're talking, you also have individuals of other faiths, and you're careful to not rub off negatively or rub off unpleasantly on them or lose them in the conversation. So, yes, when the opportunity exists for us to be direct and intentional about it, yes, we do. And when we're talking to large groups where we need to take diversity and inclusion into consideration, we can also be covert around it.
Very good. I like that approach. So, Yemi, today we're talking specifically about treating employees fairly within the context of social justice. And I just want to find out from you, what does this look like in your business? And how have you embodied aspects of biblical social justice into your processes and practices?
Okay, so, I mean, I am an HR practitioner. I'm in a leadership position as well. And I talk culture. I talk employee experience a lot. And virtually all my conversations around employee experience and leadership specifically are built around fairness and equity. And sincerely, this is not based on what we picked off the streets or what we pick up from anywhere. They're grounded in biblical principles. God is a just God, right? God is a fair God. And if we can't treat our fellow human beings with justice, equity, fairness, then we can't say that we are disciples or followers of God through his son, Jesus Christ, I mean, as a Christian. So when we say that pay individuals the right wages, for instance, that means you shouldn't oppress employees. And that, again, is found in several verses in the Bible. So it's not just because we are doing what we think is the right thing to do, but because we have lent ourselves to a higher being. There is a higher purpose behind the things we are doing, driven by a higher being, which is God. We are able to translate all of that into policies, into practices, into processes within our organization. Because if it's just about the profit, if it's just about making money, then we could do anything. We could do everything and anything to make money. But the more we realize that, no, how will God have us behave in this instance? From a leadership perspective, from a managing a business perspective, how will God have us do or behave in this instance? And that begins to drive the conversations and therefore the policies that we embed in our organization. So it lends to our faith ultimately in God for us to do the right things. There's so many businesses making money, but they're not necessarily doing the right things. From an employee engagement perspective, there's so many individuals who are making money and they are cutting corners, even as employees within organizations. There are people in supply chain, there's people in human resources, people in sales who are cutting corners to make money. We will not justify such actions. And that is where we come to consequence management in organizations to say, this is how we want to do things in our organization. And if we find it to be out of line, we will also defer to consequence management, because we need to send the right messages across the entire organization. And that speaks to culture. What culture do we want in our organization? All that lending credence to the fact that, yes, we are not doing things for the sake of it, not because we just want to make profit. It's about profit. It's about people. It's about the planet and all that, driven by our faith in a supreme being.
Yeah. Let's just drill into that a bit, because I guess sometimes the thinking amongst Christians is that social justice is about using our money to initiate or support good causes. You know, in other words, something that's external to our business. But just listening to you, treating employees fairly, for example, should positively impact your bottom line, shouldn't it?
It should. It will. And I'll tell you why, from two perspectives. Number one is you can't give what you don't have. So if we're looking at social justice or how we conduct business only from an external perspective, and we forget that charity begins at home, it's a matter of time before the employees that I call the captive audience, it's just a matter of time before they become disgruntled, dissatisfied, disengaged. And they are therefore not able to satisfy your customers, which is your external reality or external stakeholders. So it starts from within the organization. I mean, I had a conversation with an organization. I ran the strategy session for them about a week, 2 weekends ago now. And you could see the family bond and ties that exist within the organization. I promise you that the business has been in existence for 30 years, and the strategy session we ran for them was the very first one. But this business has done very well for itself, to the point where institutional investors bought into the business sometime last year. So just about a week, 2 weeks ago, 2 weekends ago, we had a conversation with an organization where we ran the strategic session for 2 days offsite. And listening to the managing director, the founder, you will realize that the business was not really built on any strategy per se, but it's been built on a great culture. You could feel the friendliness. You could feel the family togetherness around all the managers and senior management staff for the 2 days we were there. And in 30 years of operations, that was the first strategy session the business was running. And this business has expanded. It is opening new stores, about 50 this year. Institutional investors came in last year and invested in the business, not because it was running on a great strategy, but because it is running on a great culture. And you could see also from the conversations with the managing director that there were leanings towards biblical standards, right? It was conversations around fairness, around justice, doing the right things to people, treating people well. And it is reflecting, again, on the bottom line, on the results of the organization, its expansion, direction, and strategies, all because we are building something solid and something standing on principles that can be related to biblical standards within the organization, and it's reflecting without. So I'm saying it's first within, and then we can look at our realities without the organization. But if you want to do all the nice things around social justice, the organization doing corporate social responsibility out there, but without first doing the same for the employees, I don't think it will be sustainable.
Right, that's very good. And it also highlights the importance of being systematic with respect to the outworking of social justice. So if you, for example, as the founder or CEO of a business, treat employees fairly, purely as a personal value, but never take any steps to ingrain it into the systems, the processes, the culture of the business, then that value will never scale with the business, correct?
Absolutely. So I like the way you said it. It becomes a systemic thing, not something we are driving to tick the box. It is part of the DNA of the organization. Without anybody trying to force anybody to do it, it is how we do things here.
Okay, now, Yemi, we all live in the real world, right? And you must have faced some challenges or disappointments as you've tried to outwork these principles of justice in your own business environment. Can you talk to us about some of those, and more importantly, what lessons you've taken from those experiences?
Interesting. So, I mean, I'm not sure I mentioned this, but I worked in 12 organizations before I started the YF Talent Partners. So I have a couple of experiences behind me, but maybe I'll just make allusions to two of them. At some point in my career, I joined an organization and I thought to myself that I should stay here for a while because the business approached me from a change management perspective. They wanted to change culture, processes, systems around people management. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. That's what I'm all about. But by my third month, I realized that some things were at variance with what was preached to me. I'll give you an example. One of the regulators came in my third month and demanded to be paid under the table to reduce our liabilities as an organization, and I declined. I found out, apparently, that it had been done that same way over the years. The individual who occupied my position before then was happy to pay them under the table so that they can have liabilities reduced. But I decided I wasn't going to be a part of it. I asked for the full liabilities and I decided to pay as stipulated by regulation. And that was the end of my love affair with leadership in that organization. But guess what? I was happy with my decision. And when I realized that things were no longer pleasant in terms of relationship with leadership, I started to plan my exit. And I exited the organization in my 7th month. It's been a couple of years now, but I have no regrets at all because I realized that it was the best thing to do. Again, from biblical perspective, and also even professionally and ethically, it was the best thing to do. So no regrets. That's one example. I mean, if I didn't have the consciousness of a higher being or supreme being with me or in me, I probably would have just joined the multitude to do evil, quote unquote. But I decided I wasn't going to do that. And for me, the option to take the path of honor was better than joining the multitude to do evil.
And can I just jump in there, Yemi? What you've just said has reminded me of a couple of things. So the first is that doing things God's way is not always a bed of roses, right? The Christian life calls for sacrifice. And so there will be some difficult decisions that we're going to have to make. And the second thing is the question of how God leads us, especially in our career paths. In your story, for example, the decision you made to exit that company in adherence to God's ways was actually how God led you to the next thing, which eventually led you to where you are today. And so following God's leading is often not this mystical process of dreams and prophecies, but actually just doing life in the way God has already revealed in His Word, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I mean, how else do we want God to speak with us apart from what he has written in his words through inspiration? Through his inspiration of other people, other men of God who have gone ahead of us. So we've got the standards, whether we like it or not. I think we're just deceiving or fooling ourselves if we say, oh, but God did not really speak with me directly, or I didn't see him in a dream or in a vision. But I mean, we've got his words to guide us in terms of what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So the Bible is the go-to manual of life, basically, in every area, including our professional life as well. It's the Bible. That's number one. So anybody waiting to say, oh, God needs to speak with me directly, or I need to see a sign, I mean, we're just trying to be clever by half. The reality is that. That's number one. Yeah. Number two, I think the other example to talk about the unpleasantness that we may go through if we stand on the right path or the right principles, it will always be obvious. The example is that of Joseph, right? He had a dream. He knew where he was going to, where God was leading him to, right? And then circumstances, external circumstances, were trying to invalidate his dreams. But he remained on the path towards achieving. He wasn't even focusing so much on the dream. He was just focusing on being the right person. And I do think that if we are the right person in the sight of God, God will always ultimately lead us towards purpose. So if I could relate that to my experience, believe me, it was good for me to have gone through that experience to be where I am today. And where I am today, I think, is a fusion of passion and purpose. If I had compromised, I'll be losing out a lot today. I'll be in that environment, possibly enjoying a very high salary, but am I going to be happy? Because if you compromise once, you are likely to continue to compromise until you leave that environment. So for how long are we going to be in the position of compromise rather than being in the position where God wants us to be, leading us towards our dreams and purpose? So yes, it will always be unpleasant. But the reality is, hey, we've got to trust the process. We've got to trust his process. We've got to trust his words. And that's how I say. At times, can I quickly say that when we are going through that stuff, it is difficult. I have to tell you, because you are thinking, but why did God take me through this? Why do I have to do it? Should I just compromise so that I can pay the bills, so that I don't lose my job, so that I don't, you know, those conversations are going through your mind during the day and you're not sleeping at night. You are considering the different dimensions. But the reality is, once we trust his process and we believe that he's taking us through some paths before, if he did it in the past, he's going to do it again. And we strengthen our faith in him, therefore, it always ends in their praise or in gratitude. So it is only when we connect the dots backwards that everything makes sense ultimately, if you know what I mean. So because I'm where I am today, I'm thinking, yes, he took me through that path so that I can be where I am today. And believe me, where I am now is a lot better in the sight of men and also in the sight of God.
That's very good. I like that. Now, Yemi, as we wind things up, I wonder what encouragement you would give to Christian business leaders who are trying to be more proactive in their own context with respect to social justice.
I'll just say that it's not going to always be easy. We are constantly, for the few in that universe, we are constantly working against world standards. World standards will likely be in the majority, and godly standards or God standards will likely always be in the minority. But the point is, once we are called to a higher purpose, we are not called to territories that are very comfortable. We are called to territories that might not be comfortable, but ultimately the rewards are astronomical eventually. So my encouragement is that it's not going to be easy, but let's make changes in our world, and perhaps with buckets of changes in different parts of the world, we can change the world. Because really the way to change the world is to change our world first. Please continue to do what you're doing in your small corner. You might think that it's not yielding results now, but it is. People are saying a lot behind you, things that are positive, things that are encouraging, and that should be the encouragement for you. I took a course recently on executive presence, and I was talking to a group of partners of an advisory firm, and I said to them that from a leadership perspective, executive presence is how people describe you when you're not in the room. It is not who you are when you're in the room. It's actually who you are, what words and adjectives are used to describe you when you are not in the room. So be rest assured that you're on the right path, doing the right things, and the right things are being said about you, and the results are going to show ultimately.
Indeed. Well said. Well, I imagine there's some of our listeners who are going to want to connect with you after this. What's the best way to do that?
I am on LinkedIn as Yemi Fashion. Right? I'm on Instagram, same name. I am on Twitter, Fashion Yemi. But my greatest stuff of play is LinkedIn. That's why I have the highest number of followers. I write every Monday. I say, thank God it's Monday. There's a post up between 7 and 7:30 every Monday. Yes, I do post as well around leadership, culture, life, employee experience on Instagram. And yeah, please, on any of the social media handles, feel free to connect, and I'll be happy to engage and have further conversations.
Fantastic. Well, Yemi, thanks again so much for your time and your wisdom. We really look forward to connecting with you a bit further down in your journey.
Thank you, Sips. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. I've really enjoyed the conversations, and I hope that at least one person will listen to this podcast and change or begin to do things in a better way. The world is in short supply of kindness at the moment. We can really, really make a difference. Thank you very much, Sips.
Ah, yes. Words to live by. Thank you, Yemi. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you next time.
If you want a written resource that includes all the topics in this series, please see the show notes to download our free Business and Justice booklet.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to hear more conversations on the topic of redemptive business in Africa, visit Ziwani's website at www.ziwani.com. That's ZIWANI.com.